that's what that club was named and known as. And I just thought, well, if you guys don't want me here, you might as well just tell me that rather than sending me there so I can fail. And they said, it's not about sending you there so you can fail. It's sending you there because if anyone can figure it out and fix it, it's you.
Hi there. Welcome to the Business Side of Fitness podcast. This is your host, Vanessa Severiano. Each week on the show, I leverage my 2 decades of experience in the fitness and wellness industry to have meaningful conversations with the movers and shakers behind some of the most well-known and innovative brands in our industry. This show is brought to you by Vanessa Severiano, LLC. To find out more about working with me, click the link in the show notes. And now the time has come to start the show. Everyone's got a story, and it's time to hear from this week's guest. Let's welcome to the show, Amber Martinez. She's currently the COO of Pound and is a fitness industry leader with over 2 decades of experience who built a reputation as the fixer, moving into underperforming environments and turning them around culturally, operationally, and financially. Welcome to the show, Amber.
Thank you for having me, Vanessa. I'm excited to be here.
I'm pumped to talk to you and understand a little bit more about your background and all the lessons that you've learned in the last 20 plus years, because I know there's stories to tell. So today we're going to
Some I've been sworn not to tell, but I'll tell you.
Did you grow up thinking, hey, when I grow up, I want to work in the fitness industry? How did you get started?
I didn't think about that. I'll tell you how I got started. And I was trying to make it brief. I'm like, people say, what's your elevator pitch or tell me your story? I'm like, it needs to be like a 65th floor ride up to the top. But I will do my best to just share with you how I got here or got started. My family was in the restaurant industry. My grandmother owned a little cafe and she had me out like hustling plates of food at like 3 and 4 years old and filling up condiment bottles. And just, I think through observing her behaviors that like customer service and that experience and welcoming people into our homes, it was our restaurant, but it felt like a home. Started at a very early age. So serving people and building relationships and creating experiences without even really knowing it was something that really appealed to me. I didn't think that, you know, to be honest, I thought I would be like a competitive figure skater in the Olympics. That's what I thought I would do. But, you know, I ended up, some life things happened. Lost my grandmother at a really early age, 14. She was really like a mother to me. So she passed away from an unhealthy lifestyle and living the majority of her life obese. And my uncle also passed away, her son at 37 years old from, you know, living the majority of his life at about 400 pounds. So that I observed those behaviors. It was very comfortable for me. It was my family. It's what I knew, but that's ultimately what led me to the fitness industry. So it's it's very personal to me. It's not a job. It's who I am.
I feel like we have a lot of parallels. We both kind of kicked things off with Crunch. And then I also had a similar story. My mom was very, you know, heavy and overweight when I was a kid and could never, you know, play soccer with me or participate in any physical stuff. And so that kind of really got me interested in health and fitness. So where did you start your career? How did you get your first job? And how are you still in this industry 20 years later? I think that's something that's so interesting because a lot of people kind of moonlight in fitness, right? They're here for a hot second, maybe like a few years, and then they're out. There's not that many for lifers. So I'm dying to hear, Amber, how'd you become a lifer?
Well, I can't imagine how you could ever leave once you're a part of it. I mean, how is that possible? I think we are in the absolute best industry on the planet, really, when you understand what it is that we get to do every day. And I don't look at our business from just an external perspective of like, how do we help people move their bodies? All that, of course. How do we create healthy, safe spaces? How do we innovate? All of that good stuff, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. Of course, I think about external, but I also think about the internal gift that we have in our industry to bring people from all walks of life together you know, bring them into a space, create a team environment, coach and develop, like all of that is so rewarding and exciting. And there's just so many unique things about our industry. But how I personally got started was, you know, again, as a teenager early on, losing two really important people in my life deeply affected me. And it affected me in a way that I started emulating their lifestyle and their behavior. So I gained about 120 pounds during those main developmental years. And you know how being a young woman in high school is hard all on its own. Well, I decided to go and, you know, gain 120 pounds, but I would never change a thing about my life because I think I have a much deeper sense of empathy and understanding of where people are at. And it doesn't have to be weight gain. It's a number of things that people deal with and cope with. And so I have a really deep personal understanding, but with through that weight gain that lasted for about 3 years. And then I got to a point where I was really upset on the inside. You know, I was like the social chair and I was, you know, had the sense of humor and always making fun of myself before others could, I was beating them to the punch essentially. But inside I was struggling. I was struggling because I knew I was cheating myself out of a life that I wanted and that I deserved. And so I get emotional because it is personal, but you know, I just remember one day getting up out of bed and standing on my feet felt like I was standing on needles because it was so much weight. And I literally looked at myself in the mirror and I said, when are you going to do something about this? So I went down, I ran to the gym. I walked fast, you know, the fast walk. I fast walked to the gym. It was a little tiny gym in Pleasant Hill, California called California Health Club. And I got a membership there. And because of my, you know, big personality, they asked me if I wanted to work there. And I was pretty shocked that they would offer me an opportunity to work at the desk. So I did. I started working at the front desk. I was a teenager. And they also made me an orientation trainer. Do you remember those? I had absolutely, I cannot believe that they allowed me to do that. But I think it's because I was so excited about being in that environment. I was helping myself. I wanted to help others. So I worked the front desk and I onboarded all new members with their first personal training orientation session. So that's how I got started. And I won't even give you the date because I decided I'm going to stop doing that. But it was a very, very long time ago.
I love that. Yes, I do remember the orientations. Yeah, there's so many words that we use to describe that first session, right? Their comp PT, their orientation,
the intake, yeah. Life changers. Yeah. I've heard them all.
So you've come a long way from working the front desk to being the fixer. What are some of you've worked in corporate owned businesses, franchises, licensing, you know, across these different mediums, what are some of the biggest problems that you're helping to solve as the fixer?
You know, what's funny is when I moved over to Crunch, also at the front desk, I got a promotion from the tiny, it wasn't a promotion, but the tiny little mom and pop gym to, you know, Crunch, which was very exciting and working, you know, the founder was still actively involved even with front desk team members. I started working at the front desk at Crunch and I learned a lot. I'm going to kind of take you on a little bit of a journey, but I was always observing, right? And I was at the front desk and I was selling memberships to people who were coming in at night and no one was there to help them, which, you know, I thought, hey, I can take your credit card. We have a little ching ching manual thing that I can do for you. Literally, that was my pitch. And because I was so excited about the gym, they were excited about the gym and they wanted to be a part of it. And so I thought, well, if you want to get started, why should I hold you back? So I started leaving credit card slips at night in the little cubbies for the sales team. And the word got out to the regionals and the regionals came down and said, you shouldn't be at the front desk. And I said, well, what do you mean? And I said, I love being at the front desk. I fold great towels. I answer the phone within three rings. I'm greeting people within 8 seconds. I love my job. And they said, well, tell us about the credit card slips. And I said, oh, am I not supposed to do that? And they said, no, you are, but you should be in sales. And I said, oh God, no, I don't want to be in sales. That's awful. I don't want to sell people things. And they said, well, you already are selling. I go, yeah, but not as a job. And they go, just keep doing what you're doing and we'll teach you a few things and you'll make a little more money. And if you don't want to do that and you want to go back to the front desk, fine. So with that, because I started at the very front, right? Understanding what people need from the moment they walk in the door and really what it takes to convert them into members so that we can ultimately help them. We have to sell them to help them. So I understood that very early on. And as I moved in my career, I became a top performing salesperson, moved into sales management, general manager. And this is where it gets me to the fixer part, is my first opportunity to become a general manager after I just crushed it. And that's the reality of it. And I was doing so well and performing in sales, winning contests. And I was so excited when they called me in the office and they were promoting me to general manager. And they promoted me to the club. When they tell me the club that I'm going to, it's a club that everyone went to die. Literally, that's what that club was named and known as. And I just thought, well, if you guys don't want me here, you might as well just tell me that rather than sending me there so I can fail. And they said, it's not about sending you there so you can fail. It's sending you there because if anyone can figure it out and fix it, it's you. Well, you don't even have to pay me if you tell me that. So they believed in me. They gave me an opportunity to prove myself. And I went over to the first location. And what I do first is I go in and it always has to start with the people, right? I have an acronym that I live by in our industry, and it's reps. Kind of worked out nicely, didn't it? So relationships, experiences, processes, and success metrics. Asked me that 20 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to tell you the same way. I just said, I'm a people person and I focus on the people and I want to make them feel good. And I really couldn't articulate what it was that I did. But over time, I learned my formula and it's reps. So I got in and it's the same 20 years ago as it is today. And whether you're looking at a corporate model or you're looking at a franchise model, our business is not complicated. It's really very simple. It's just not easy. And so getting in and identifying the people that you have on your team is where you have to start, because we are a human serving human business. And far too often do we just plug somebody into a position because we're moving fast, or, you know, we want to fill a spot because we don't want to have to cover it. Or, you know, we don't really even think about recruiting and onboarding and what the DNA of our business is. And what does that team member need to look like? It's a puzzle piece. They all fit together. So really it starts with our people. And how are we recruiting them? And how are we onboarding them? And how are we supporting them so that they can bring our brand to life and achieve the goals from whatever department, right? So it always starts with the people. I will never, that will be until the day, my last day, when you guys are all wheeling me out of this industry and telling me to call it. It'll always be people. You want me to keep going? Because I can go into experiences and processes. There's some things that people can do differently.
Oh my God. Yes, that's so true. And I think it all comes down to, you know, there's a disconnect sometimes between, you know, we've done it all, right? Been in the trenches on the front line. I've worked as a consultant. We've been on the corporate management side of things. And sometimes there's a disconnect from an idea to execution, and your people are executing. And if you disconnect from the customer journey and the customer experience from the second they hear about your brand, their first experience, the smell when they walk in, the sounds, everything, then you're going to have problems that need to be solved. And, you know, it all starts with starting from ground zero, not from just looking at a spreadsheet. It's like there's so many factors that determine the success and ultimately profitability of a company. And your people are your brand. Sometimes people think like brands drive experiences, people drive experiences, people bring brands to life. So you're talking my language. Keep going.
How long do we have today, Vanessa? Because I can kick back and we can do this for a couple of hours. We'll have part two, but you're absolutely right. And you can put, and I've seen it happen, right? And so being the fixer, you can have the same logo and the same brand and the same marketing from location to location to location. And what makes one successful versus the other? And it's reps, relationships, experience, processes, success metrics. The relationships are with your people. And as business leaders or owners, we have a personal responsibility to do what's right by our people. And ultimately, they will do what's right by our business. And the people bring our business to life. And I'll tell you, while I was at Crunch, one of the roles I held, which I take great pride in, is the senior director of culture and engagement. That was a position we designed. And it was to make sure that we upheld our values and that we were investing in our people. And part of my role was traveling around the country and onboarding all new hires with our core values. So Crunch still has them, 7 core values that we live by as an organization to differentiate us, right? And so the brand is awesome. We have all this history, we're so different and innovative. But the core values were really who we are. And so on to your point, when you are within your organization, identify who you are, why you do what you do, and learn how to articulate that to your people, not just in words or in spreadsheets and data and metrics. Of course, that's all important. That's down there at the bottom, the processes, right? And the success metrics, because that comes after. But when you teach your people what the behaviors, what those words mean to you so that they can bring them to life, it becomes palpable. And people then know what your brand stands for and who you are. And then there's a trust and a loyalty that comes with that, both internally with your team and externally with your members and your community. So the people piece is a big one that we can go on for hours. There are so many things that we can do. And I think the people piece is so critical, especially today. I still talk to a number of Crunch franchise partners and former employees of mine who are doing wonderful big things still in the industry today. And we've all experienced the great resignation and why people are leaving and how do we attract great talent and how do we retain them? You have to get your house right and get it in order so people can thrive in your environment. And I always say, whether you're going to be with me for a short time, a long time, or a lifetime, my responsibility is to make it impactful and impactful on you as an individual and in personally and professionally. So that is something that, you know, I talk as I'm talking to franchise partners, former franchise partners or former team members, or even my team members here at Pound. And we're talking about the great resignation and how to solve for that. And I think there's an opportunity here. Every opportunity presents another, you know, everything's an opportunity. It's how you look at it. It's mindset. So for me, it's take this opportunity to reflect, look at yourself, look at your business. What are you doing right? What could you do better? Talk to your people as they're coming in and as they're leaving. Why are they joining your team? People that have been with you a long time. Why do you stay with us? What do we mean to you? What do we do well? What do we do? What have we not gotten right? Help us solve that. And people as they're leaving, don't be afraid to ask and have those conversations because they're very insightful. And then take that feedback and do something with it. Don't just take it to check that box because we're not in a check that box business. We're humans. And so we require action. All business requires action, especially ours. But the people piece is a big, and again, it's something one of my former team members, she's now running another awesome brand. Her name is Marie Choi. She's fantastic. And she's doing some really fun, innovative things because she's struggling right now. You talk about with the I don't want to say struggling. You're just with attracting new team members. So she's doing really fun, innovative recruiting events in her space. And so I just think have fun with it. Do things differently. Don't be afraid to make some noise and have some fun, but get your people piece right. And it's from the very beginning, how you attract them and then how you support them ongoing. We can move into the experience piece because that's a really big one. When walking into an environment that's struggling, you need to evaluate the experience. You said it. And I said this last week. I was in New York. We're launching a new product called Pound Unplugged. And maybe we'll talk about that later too. But in partnership with Crunch, which is like the best for me because I get everything I love in one space. And we're launching this new programming. I walked into the Crunch gym and it smelt like Crunch. It felt like Crunch. It looked and sounded like Crunch. And it felt comfortable and safe and energizing to me. And I thought, this is how people walk into our gyms or into our venues. They want that experience that feels familiar, that when they walk in, they know what they're going to get. And so those experiences, people go so far beyond and wanting to create these big experiences that take a lot of time and investment. And we don't have to, sometimes build that in, right? Surprise them and do something a little extra. But on the day-to-day, what does that experience look like from the minute you walk in the front door or the minute you see a marketing piece? What does that look like? What does that make people feel? Then when they walk in our doors, does it match? From the outside, is it clean? Is there, you know, have you picked up the trash outside? These are little things that really make a difference, Vanessa. People want me to give the silver bullet. It's not the silver bullet, it's work. And it's understanding the business. So you make sure you set the stage so that people walk in and it's consistent every day. They know that you care. From when you walk up to that front desk and that front desk is making eye contact with you and not just, hey, Vanessa, have a good workout. Hey, Sam, have a good workout. No, make it personal. Vanessa, how's your dog doing? So glad to see you today. You coming in for that ride class? Those are experiences. And then it goes beyond into the actual gym environment and the experience, right? So it's all connected, but these unique experiences to make an impact. And I say we have lightning bolt moments all throughout the day to make an impact with our team and our members. And what are we doing to deliver on that? And again, it doesn't have to be big and grand. It's just these simple things. When you're walking by a member, and in the past before 2020, I would say giving them high fives and hugs. And I think we're getting back to those days, but it's even just a thumbs up or encouraging word of you're doing really well. You're doing great. We're proud of you. Keep coming back. Look at those gains. I see you just up that stack. You know, there's just things that people want to be seen and they want to know that they're a part of something that matters. And those experiences play a big role. You know, little simple things that I would do as a fixer or that I would encourage my team to do. At one point I was with Yoga Works and I had 35 stores. And how do I make sure that every one of my managers is delivering on that experience? So we talked about it. And it's, hey, every once in a while, surprise your members and your team and hop into a class. And after class, stick around and talk to them, get their feedback, ask them how what brings them in every day. So there's those little experiences and then there's big ones, right? So there's big events and there's charitable events that you can be a part of and taking social responsibility, you know, bringing partners into your space, leveraging your square footage. Don't think small, right? Think about how can I make a difference in my community? So those are, again, experiences that people now see your brand and you a little bit differently. So as a fixer, I was always looking for opportunities to make a difference, to elevate my brand, to stand out. And again, it started with the very simple, basic things of the day-to-day. What do we do every day? To what do we do on those big days to make big impressions and have a little extra fun with it? So those are just a couple of things about the experience piece.
Yeah. I mean, you said it so well. Little things are big things. All these things add up. And impression is perception, right? If somebody doesn't get that first impression right, then you only get that one opportunity. And I think that, you know, going back to the people piece, I think that, you know, when I think about the journey, I think we're sometimes, as fitness and wellness brands, we're so obsessed with the customer experience, we forget about the employee experience, which drives the customer experience. And so we have to, you know, we have to kind of keep checking ourselves. Are our expectations realistic? Are we giving our teams the tools that they need to meet our expectations and to be set up for success? You know, we can't just put somebody in a spot and expect them to run with it without giving them ample training or ongoing training, right? Things are constantly changing and we have to stay up and, you know, with the times and train people on an ongoing basis. People forget things. They have to stay top of mind. They have to role play. They have to do all the things, right? And so what you're saying makes so much sense, but you dropped a little tidbit of information in there. And I'd love to learn about Pound Unplugged. What's that all about? Give us the scoop.
Let me tell you. So, you know, I am so honored to be a part of this, just a Pound, you know, period. Pound is just such an incredible, special organization led by really dynamic, genuine people. And this Pound Unplugged programming is really meaningful. And Pound has been around for 11 years. And we started with Pound Rock Out Workout, the core programming. And in 11 years has done so well because of the investment and commitment to the programming, to the community, that in 11 years, there wasn't really a need to develop additional core programming. So just this year, we went into the lab and created Pound Unplugged, really driven to create an experience and a class that people need now. We all know, I don't know if you would even, Vanessa, do you even need to hear or talk about 2020 or stats or what it did to our industry? I think that's probably pretty talked out. We all know where we are today, and we're all feeling things differently today. And because of COVID and all that we've gone through, I think it's really forced us to look at ourselves and our lifestyles differently. And so we did that at Pound. We looked and we thought, what do people need to get back into a group fitness environment and to open the door to new experiences that are going to serve the whole you, mentally, emotionally, physically? So through music and movement, we've created a 30-minute designed to rock and reset. So you have 20 minutes, which is the two parts hi-fi, and you have 10 minutes, which is 10 minutes of lo-fi. So two part hi-fi, one part lo-fi. The 20 minutes is intense, rocking out, drumming, ground and core work. You are sweating. You are smiling. You are down dog. I mean, it is, and it incorporates cardio, rhythm, music, drumming, and, you know, Pilates, yoga style movement. And you move into the last 10 minutes and it's breath work and meditation. And so this 30 minutes, I can tell you the word that kept coming to mind during our launch last week in New York was profound. That is the word, not deep, but profound. People have been writing in that have gone through the training saying, I was so excited about this format because I've been taking, you know, my Pound class and I'll teach Pound Rock Out Workout. And then my second class is a yoga class or something to bring me back and look inward and to calm the body and the mind. So now we've designed this to provide all of that in 30 minutes. And it is incredible. The response that we have received from this programming, we could not have predicted. And what literal words that we're getting from the community is, this is exactly what we need. This is exactly what my members need. And we're so proud and excited about it. We're on a tour right now. So Pound Unplugged, we just launched our tour in New York City, a huge turnout, incredible partners, an awesome 4-day run, sold out trainings, teacher trainings. Our next stop is in Los Angeles in June, and then we will be heading to San Francisco in July, and we'll round out the tour ending back in New York City in August. So we're very, very excited about it. You can check it out at poundfit.com and check out our unplugged page for more information if you're interested.
Fabulous. Well, perfect timing to launch with Mental Health Awareness Month. I think that, you know, there's just everybody needs to slow down a little bit after what we've been through. I feel like we're all, our nervous systems are kind of shot. So it makes a lot of sense to have this new launch. But was that the result of getting feedback from the instructors and your licensing partners that, hey, we need another offering, people need something, and we need another tool? Or, you know, what was that the result of?
We definitely listen. And that's something else that I love about Pound is we don't sit and make decisions in a vacuum, and we don't go and create what, you know, what, of course, you know, there are things that we want to do, but we partner up with our icons and our pros and our greater community. We partner up with our, you know, with venue partners to understand where they're at and what they need. So absolutely great conversations were had around getting, really it was, you know, before 2020, this is the message we are getting. Before 2020, Pound would pack our classrooms. We want to create that again, but we need to think about it. You know, we need to think about what we're offering, right? So we're going to get Pound back on the schedule. We're starting to launch we're in over 100 countries right now, and we're coming back loud and proud and strong. And it's very exciting to see people coming back, grabbing their sticks, rocking out on the mat. And again, all around the globe, you know, Indonesia, I was just in Germany last month. And again, it is palpable. So there's this love for Pound. And then, so they're saying there's this love for Pound. There's this huge community. It fills our classrooms. So let's talk about another offering where we could meet people with what they maybe don't even know they need. And you said that, you know, I think we were all kind of hit in the face over the last couple of years. And we had to do a lot of reflection. And I think things are also where I get that tipping point, right? Things are bubbling over the way we feel. And there's this beauty in it too, because all of a sudden we're hearing people talk about wellness differently. And there's a comfortability talking around not just getting physically fit, but even more so getting mentally and emotionally fit. And so in those conversations, we are very comfortable to step up to the challenge and deliver what people need today. So absolutely came from conversations. I will share with you, we have an advisory board to guide the decision-making, which I'm really proud of. Our founder, Kirsten Potenza, was also the creator of the program. Just really, it was very mindful about how this program was designed, having the, you know, people, decision makers involved that really understand each component so that we can deliver a product that exceeds expectations. You know, and even before 2020 and even before people were really comfortably talking about mental health, it was something that was really important to us at Pound. And we've always had a mission to change minds before bodies. And that's something that really attracted me.
Well, I was going to ask you that question. What was the thing that attracted you to Pound coming from, you know, what was that switch like going from corporate and franchise run brands to now like a light, more of a licensing model where you're working with instructors? What was that shift like?
I'm so glad you asked. You know, I was at Crunch for many, many years. I spent a few years at Yoga Works that was owned by the same parent company. But being at Crunch, I don't know if you're aware, but our founder launched Pound exclusively at Crunch 11 years ago. So when I was there, it's really this like beautiful kind of full circle. We've come together in the most organic way. I watched the effects of Pound. I watched the classrooms fill up and communities formed. I watched people find their inner rock star. I watched Pound pros and icons walk through the gym, you know, through the gym floor to the group fitness room, connecting with people and lighting up a room. I watched all this happen for a decade. And I was very attracted to what Pound, the environment, the atmosphere, the experience Pound creates. So I always had my eye on Pound. I've always been a supporter. And I'm also really big on the fitness business, the business of fitness. And not a lot of people were talking about it, you know, years ago. But I think there's a huge group of individuals in our industry that have been underserved, and that's group fitness instructors from a fitness business perspective. I think we provide good direction and resources and continued coaching and development with the sales team, with the personal training team, with the leadership team. But I think we're just now starting to get to a place where we're going, we have these huge influencers in our gyms that attract 30, 40, 50, 70 people to a class, and people show up for them and they change people's lives and they're invested and they're passionate. And are we giving them tools and resources and coaching and continued education to help them develop? Or, and I'll have to tell you, I'm really big into the whole team, bringing everybody in, sharing the vision, helping them understand how we achieve our goals together. So joining the Pound team, the Pound family, was really exciting for me at this time because I wanted to try something new. I wanted to prove to myself, first of all, I was with Crunch and that team for so long, I almost didn't know myself without Crunch. And so there was a time where I had to look and say, okay, I'm either going to make a move or I'm going to stay here forever. And, you know, they're going to have to wheel me out. And so I, you know, decided ultimately to make the move, but it had to be with the right organization, with the right product and services, with the right people. And being on this side is really interesting because what we do, we provide fuels those fitness spaces, those venues, right? And with Pound, we have the ability to reach far beyond just the four walls of a gym, right? And I'm not even just talking about the on-demand component, because absolutely, and that's such a critical piece. And if we're not leveraging technology and bringing that in with the people piece, we're missing it. But with Pound, what I love is that we can bring Pound to these venues like elderly care facilities, resorts, schools. You know, we have so much opportunity to grow and to tap into inner rock stars all over the world, any age, any stage. And we do that, it all starts with our people. So how are we educating? How are we training, developing? What products are we creating? How are we being a resource for them to grow, not only as a Pound pro or a Pound instructor, but as a fitness industry professional? And that's something that lights me up.
Oh, amen. I mean, I feel like it was very ahead of the times of Pound to have this licensing, you know, set business model where you're working directly with instructors and supporting them to help them become more professional. I think that, you know, a lot of organizations tried to jump on that bandwagon when COVID hit, but you were already ahead of the curve because that I think that's a missing link. Like when we first started this conversation, we were talking about the importance of people, right? And then I think for a lot of brands and facilities, they have a love-hate relationship with these fitness instructors, right? They love them because they bring people in the door, they bring the energy, but then they kind of also feel like beholden to them, right? Like, you know, I have to do what this person says, otherwise, you know, it's not going to work out. And so when these instructors are really like also they are taught the business acumen. They are taught the business side of fitness through Pound and through their own, you know, willingness to learn. I think that just, it's like a rising tide lifts all boats. Absolutely. We need everybody at all levels of the fitness business to continue to level up so that we can continue to be taken seriously by the general public. And we can continue to really make an impact in this mental health crisis and in the obesity epidemic. And if we don't invest in our individual education and our brand education, we're never going to be able to really make an impact. And that's what it's all about, right?
Absolutely. And you know, you said it so well, I could talk to you forever, but you know, you get it. And that is it. I love that I have to talk about you for a second because that's just how I roll. But I love that you have your message and that you're reaching so many people with this message because it is so critically important. And I think to your point earlier, it's like people kind of moonlight and it's like they never really took it seriously. And it's like, I just think they missed it, right? Because there's such an opportunity. If it wasn't available to us back in the day, it wasn't. Or if we were lucky to have a great leader or a mentor, sure. But we weren't really exposed to the business, the P&L, EBITDA, profit margin. What's that? Just hit your unit goal. Okay, you got it. So I think breaking it down and really understanding, we've done such a much better job of that. But there's this huge miss in like you said, group fitness, you can love them. But you're like, oh man, they, you know, you hear diva or this or that, you know what? They're rock stars and let them have their stage. And the more you bring them in and the more I think there's this misconception of they want autonomy. They just want to come in and do their thing. And you know what? A percentage of them do want to do that. But there's a large percentage of them that want to be brought in, that want to understand the business, that want to understand how they can help. They want to fill their classes. They want to help more people. So let's work together, because we all win when we do that. More bodies through our walking through our doors, more bodies that we get a chance to help. And that's every single one of us should have a fundamental goal to help people live better. And we get the opportunity and the gift to do that every day in our industry. And these group fitness instructors, this is their life. This is their purpose. They're passionate about it. They believe in it. They connect. They take the time. And so let's show them how to leverage that genuine, authentic love and passion for people in our industry and give them some tools and resources, just like they did for me when I was that girl standing at the front desk. Had somebody not said, you know what, there's something in her and we can help her grow and she'll help more people. Here I am 25 years later, having helped millions of people. And so think about the group fitness instructors the same way, because listen, the misconception is there's not a direct, you can't, and I get it, on a P&L, maybe you can't put a direct line between group fitness classes and your profitability. But I promise you, I will put my name on this, my reputation, that when you have a thriving group fitness program and you are investing in your group fitness instructors and you are giving them tools and resources to grow and help market their business and retain their students and get referrals, your business will win more because of it. And maybe you can't draw the line, but you will watch the impact and it will hit your revenue. And in those environments where you have tiered membership types and your group fitness classes are on your highest tier, watch your average dues increase when you get your group fitness programming right. And you know what? That's how you directly connect the line between group fitness and profitability.
Oh, you said it so well. I feel like we're just preaching over here. But like when you said, you know, sometimes group fitness instructors are looked at as they just want to come in and do their thing. But it's like anybody that is really good at their craft makes it look easy. But what you don't see is how many classes they've taught, all the years of experience that led to them being able to walk in, command a room, freaking make the energy go off the charts and be done with it and move on. But how many years of experience, how much time have they dedicated when they're not there curating a sick playlist to drive that energy? And at the end of the day, those of us that are in it understand that culture and experience drive profitability. There, you're right about the P&L. Maybe there's not a specific dollar amount that you can assign to culture or experience, but at the end of the day, that does drive profitability. And I think we have to all remember that. And sometimes, you know, we need to remind ourselves that these little things, you need to take the time to really invest in those experiences. So you said that so well. Amber, if somebody wants to connect with you, they want to learn more about Pound, how can they do that?
They can reach me at amber@poundfit.com.
Easy enough.
Yeah, so easy. Or LinkedIn, Amber Martinez. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. But yeah, I would love to connect. Networking is a big part of what we do and just supporting each other. And so we can continue to, like you said, level up and just continue to serve. My goal is aligned with the big picture goal of getting 30% of the population moving by 2030. So when we all work together, we're going to get there a lot faster.
I love it. Thanks so much, Amber.
Of course. Thank you, Vanessa.
Hi, everyone. This is your host, Vanessa Severiano. Thanks for tuning into this episode. If it brought you value, please subscribe, review, and share the Business Side of Fitness podcast. If you'd like to learn more about working with me, please click the link in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.